Lord, hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. I'm still a baby, and I want to remain one. I hope I can sing when I get to the other side. In the meantime, I'll make all kinds of, I'll make joyful noises. Amen. We're so happy to have our brother Brooks with us again this evening, and thank you for yielding your gift tonight to create an atmosphere to, you know, we could just keep on worshiping, huh? And we will. In truth now. Hallelujah. But remain in the spirit. We sure love our brother Isaiah. Haven't seen you for a while. We haven't seen hardly anybody for a while. Just seen pictures on milk cartons, and there's been sightings, but and anyway, we're thankful that there's friends and there's old friends, and just appreciate that. So have we been together in San Luis before? Yeah, of course we have. Yeah, had a nice party, didn't we? Yeah, a whole bunch of them are here. So yeah, praise the Lord. Well, you know, there was nothing unique about doing it there. We can do it here. Just a matter of how bad you want it, you know. Just want to let go and let God have his way. Praise his wonderful name. So I was reminded, so just a couple of days ago I saw a picture of myself. I think it was 2011, if I'm not mistaken. It was probably one of the last times out in San Luis Obispo. And I had black hair or dark hair. You know? Who's that guy? Yeah, my time just marches on, doesn't it? But I love him just as much, and if not more, and he is so good to us. He didn't have to do one more thing, and we have enough to praise him throughout eternity. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. So Brother Brooks surprised us, and I did ask him to speak tonight, but he said he begged me for him not to. So I said, well, I understand, you know. Sometimes you like to just go and get your feet washed and just enjoy yourselves. And the pressure's off. But I told him we demand a return. So we'll schedule something, the Lord willing, and try to get our brother to come out, and we'll have some meetings, okay? Yeah. I remember a few years back, you know, I was thinking about how it's just not fair that God puts so much talent in some and, you know, makes others sweat. We were trying to pull Brother Pruitt's leg and trying to, you know, kind of going back and forth. And I took Brother Brooks's CD and I took his picture and I put Brother Pruitt's head on his body. And then I changed the choir, and then I forget what the title was. It was songs from wherever, Iowa or wherever it was, and I changed it to from Louisiana, and then showed that up at their special meetings on the screen. And you know, Brother Pruitt, he's a hard one to get over on, you know, because he's so quick. And he came back and he says, well, I wasn't going to tell you, but I was the one that laid hands on him. I'll praise the Lord. Are you happy?
Amen.
Sure beats the alternative, doesn't it? Amen. Just think of what it's going to be like on the other side. I mean, we have such blessed times on this side, and it's just a foretaste. And it sure, you know, that I just love that song, Beulah Land. That just really hit a nerve with me here tonight. That's one of my Hall of Famers. We don't sing it too often, but you start singing it and those words become your words. I'm longing for you. Yeah. And we're closer tonight than we've ever been. Amen. So just keep going. Just keep going. Keep pressing the battle. It's worth it. It's more than worth it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We believe and therefore we speak, part 3. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Amen. And again from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Brother Brooks didn't know we were going to quote him this morning. Spelled a little different, though, but same. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. How many can say amen to that? Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand here before you, we're just in awe, Lord, of your wonders, of your mercy, your grace, your love, of your keeping power, Lord. We get to places in our lives, we get into positions where we feel like we can't go any further or we can't see a way through, but Lord, you carry us through. And when we get to the other side, there'll not be one of us that'll be bragging about how we got there. We will be bragging, all right, but we'll be bragging on you. We'll say it was all you. It was your mercy. It was your grace. It was your word that produced a testimony in our lives, and it's your blood and the life that was in your blood that carries us through. And so, Lord, we just want to express our love once again to you tonight, and each and every one of us in our own simple way, Lord, and as your children. And we just invite you once again to minister to our hearts. According to our needs, we trust you, Lord. We know that you're the one that decided how you wanted to carry these things out, and it's your choice, it's your decision. We know that man will come up with all different kinds of ideas for lots of different reasons, but Lord, we want to stay with the old-fashioned way because you haven't changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and your first thought is your best thought. So, Lord, we're trusting in you tonight to speak to us just as you did to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, just as you did in the temples and the synagogues, just as you did under the feet of our sitting under the feet of our brother Paul in the first church age. And Lord, we're just confident tonight that you know what each and every one of us needs here tonight, and you've already provided it, Lord. And so we're looking to draw and pull upon the hem of your garment, Lord. We're looking to pull upon your gift and to have you speak to us personally, Lord, as only you can. And Lord, we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. Bless those that are listening in, those that will listen in, all those that are present, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. So you may be seated. Thank you. Just a quick background from the message this morning. We know that the anointing of the Spirit can break any yoke. There's nothing that can't be broken with that anointing. In fact, you know, this atmosphere that's here right now, it's the best atmosphere there is to preach in, right? It makes a way for the word to go forth, and we just really appreciate that. So it's the Spirit of truth, and it sets us free by the power that's already resident in God's word, but it's waiting to be, it's waiting to find a believing heart, a resting place. So as we saw this morning, the word that you accept is the word that will be anointed, and it's the word that will then be manifested in your life, and that becomes your reality. Now, it could be a negative word, and it could be anointed of an evil spirit, and that will become your reality. Or it can be the true word of God, anointed by the Spirit of God, and that will become your reality. Amen. So, as we looked at this morning, we will suffer in this life. So, you know, you might as well just face it. All of us probably have went through phases or times in our lives where we question and, you know, even that has a purpose. It's good to question because you find out where you're standing. You look at where your roots are buried at, and you search your life, and you say, "Search me, O God." And you go over and over and over, and you see that you can't find anywhere that you did something wrong, and yet you're paying a price and you're suffering, right? But you're supposed to. These things are ordained of the Lord, and you are better off after you go through that than you were before. But most of us will start off. I know in my case, I certainly did, our prophet, our church age messenger, also did the same thing, where you tend to make yourself a complex. Because of what you're going through, and then you tend to filter everything that happens to you after that through that complex, and you kind of come to expect it, and you don't understand it, and you don't know why the things are happening, but you just, you know, figure, well, I must be no good, or this or that or the other, or people just don't like me, whatever it is, but you find out that wasn't it at all. God's just trying to get you to stand with Him, to walk with Him, and to trust Him. That though you're standing all by yourself, and friends, I had a pretty good pity party over that, and probably you have too at some point or another. I'm all alone. All I have is you, Lord. You know? And then you wake up to that thought, oh, sorry, I didn't, you know, all I have is you. What do I need? I mean, we talk about an Enoch walk. We talk about how we want to walk with God and have Him say one day, why don't you just keep on walking? Why don't you just come right on over, right? But what we look for is the comfort that He wants to provide us, the leadership that He wants to provide us, the rest that He wants to give us, the shoulder to lean on that we want to lean on. We look for it everywhere else except for Him. And He allows us to get into positions where we're backed up against the wall, where we're isolated, where we're cut off, and where we're standing. We're trying to do what's right. We're trying to do what God is leading us to do. And it seems like everything's falling away, and all we have is Him to lean on. And guess what? That's who we should be leaning on. And once you make that, once that connection is made, once that thought breaks in, and once you, that channel is something that you're opening to the Lord and allowing Him to just have His way in your life, well, then that becomes your walk from that point on. You don't get as tore up. Sure, nobody likes people to lie about them or speak evil things and all that, but it doesn't affect you the same way when you're walking with Him. In fact, that's the only way that you can actually get to the place where, as Brother Branham would say, you know, when that woman, he's going to cut off the power at her house, and she called him a kinky-headed idiotic and a Kentucky squab and all other kinds of names, and he said, I felt sorry for the little feller, right? The only way that you can feel sorry for somebody truly is to get over yourself and just be dependent upon Him and surrender to Him. And then you realize, you know what? Oh, what everybody else is doing, they don't mean it. You know, they're suffering. They're going through this. They're going through that. They're misunderstanding the situation. They're misjudging or whatever. And you're maybe collateral damage, but you realize, you know what? That's just temporary, and I can take it. And if my Lord bore those things for my sake, you know, can I take a little bit? Lord, don't let somebody miss it for some little insult or some little rudeness or some little misunderstanding or some outburst. Don't let them miss it, Lord, on my behalf. Amen? So the anointing of the Spirit can break any yoke, we know, and that's one of the reasons why the anointing was sent. We will suffer in this life, for we are in a battle. We're in the greatest battle that was ever fought. You know, we were born into a battle. You joined an army. But, you know, our suffering can many times be self-inflicted by the choices that we make and what we believe and what we align ourselves to, and, you know, how we don't maybe want to offend somebody. But as our prophet said, you know, I don't want to offend anybody either. But if I have a choice between offending him and offending you, well, I know what choice I'm going to make. I'm not going to try to offend you, but I am going to try not to offend him. Right? So, for instance, if we believe that we're sick, Guess what? You are sick. That is your reality. You believe it. If instead we realize that we are in a battle and that our flesh many times is the battleground, and if we believe what the Word says about us, no matter what the circumstances, then the Word becomes our reality. And the Holy Spirit will follow that Word of the Lord. That Word is a seed, and the Holy Spirit will follow that Word to quicken it and bring it into manifestation. In the Word is power. And there is nothing that can stop that Word from coming to pass. That it will not return unto him void. It will accomplish. God's not a man that he can lie. Hallelujah. Again, we read this this morning, but I want to touch on it again. And God can write. God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. He wrote on the walls of Babylon once with his finger. He stooped down and wrote in sand one time with his finger. God can speak. God can read. God can write. God is the fountain of all grace and power. And of all divine wisdom is in God. So therefore, knowing that, he is the only creator there is no other creator but God. Satan cannot create at all. He only perverts what's been created. But God is the only creator. Amen. Therefore, he created by his word. He sent his word. So all the seeds that he has placed upon the earth, he formed those seeds by his own word. It'll break on you one day that he formed you by his own word as well. Hallelujah. He said, you're flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, you're word of his word. For there was nothing else to make the seed out of. He had placed them, and they were beneath the water. He just said, let there be this, and let there be that. And then Brother Branham said in one place, one time, he said, then God did an amazing thing. He believed his own word. You know, do you realize if he ever started to doubt his word, we would just vanish? What we see around us would just disappear, because it's held by the power of his word. It consists of his word. Hallelujah. So there's only one creator. We know that Satan can't create. He can pervert. But there's only one creator, and that's God. So everything consists, everything that we see consists of the spoken word. There are things that we can't see also consist of the spoken word. The worlds were formed by the word. And this creative God brought the whole world and every other world into existence by the word. And there truly is none like him. You know, there's so many things in life where we say, oh, there's nothing that could even come close to this. And there's no one like this or there's no one like that. But it's not true. There's always somebody that's sort of like this or sort of like that. Apparently, everybody has a twin, too. But there truly is none like him. I mean, Satan's not even close. He's not even a close second. He cannot create. There is only one creator, and that's God. So if he's in charge of creation and has the power to create, how could you possibly be lost? Or how could he possibly lose you to his enemy? Amen? So everything consists of the spoken word. He speaks his word, and then he believes it, and it does what he sent it to do. Just as, you know, and so you say, well, what about when it comes to us, you know, about healing or this or that? Well, there is word that is in the Bible that pertains to individuals, but you don't know if it's for you or not until you take him at his word. And if you take him at his word, if you find out, you know, I'm who he's talking to, right? He reveals it to you. You're my child, you know. You're my son. You're my daughter, right? When I said, by my stripes, you are healed, I was talking to you. Amen. Jillian, there's nobody behind you. I'm not looking behind you tonight. When he spoke to you, he spoke to you. But we want to do this, right? Well, maybe it'll work for me, or maybe this, or maybe that. No, he's speaking directly to you. Hallelujah. And when you receive it, it happens. Because God's word cannot fail. Amen. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners in time past spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. It's God condescending, right. By whom also he made the worlds. First thing he made was he created himself into his own creation. He was the firstborn of the creation. He was the first formed of the creation. He made a body for himself, and then somehow he poured himself, poured all of his essence, his being, all of his thoughts into that logos. And then that's God condescending, God in another form, right? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In other words, if you see him, you see. So Spirit God can never be seen. In fact, when we go to the other side, we still will never see Spirit God because you can't see him, right? He expresses himself and veils himself and manifests himself that way, and that's how you know him. So he says the express image of his person. So when you saw Jesus Christ, you saw God's very thoughts of his own being, his own character, his own nature. And upholding things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So this one that paid the price for your sin is the same one that made the worlds. This one that said, take up your bed and walk is the same one that said, let there be light. This one that said, though your sins be many, I forgive you. It's that very same one. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. This is God creating himself into his own creation. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Before the beginning was God. In the beginning was God. But God is in the beginning. He's creating himself. He's condescending. He's manifesting himself. He's going from thought to word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he created all things by the word of his power, and the word is a creative force. It is spirit and it is life. And it goes out and it accomplishes what he sent it out to do. And so when God's word goes out, it can't be stopped. It'll never be returned to sender. It'll never come back wrong address, or that person doesn't live here anymore. The word will accomplish what it was supposed to do. Yeah. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So he created all things. But we didn't do it as the man Jesus Christ. He did it as Logos. That word became flesh later on. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, by the word, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So friends, how could anybody that was created by God get over God? I mean, if he's the creator, how could, isn't that arrogant of Satan to even for a moment entertain the thought that he could somehow prevail over God, or to be thought equal with God, or to get the worship of God? He's not even a cheap imitation. You say, don't tempt the devil. No, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't pick a fight with the devil. I didn't pick a fight with him. He picked one with me. Right? But there's no love lost between us. Right? He doesn't care too much for me, and I don't care too much for him. He's given me such a hard time, I want to give him a hard time back. Right? I have every right to do that. Don't get nervous here tonight, friends. You recognize, is it in Ezekiel where it says we will look upon him narrowly and say, you're the one? Well, that's because we'll fully recognize who we are at that time, and we'll be the ones that put him in that pit. I plan on being on the kicking committee. Anybody else? Hallelujah. He's lied to me so much.
Right.
How do you know when he's lying? His lips are moving.
Right.
He's such a liar.
Right.
He once almost had me convinced I was one of his children.
Right.
Right? But the thing of it is, I don't like him.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have got along in his hell.
Right?
Right? I don't fit. I'm a misfit.
Right.
But I found out where I do fit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In spite of my mistakes and faults and what have you. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Well, actually, I skipped something, right? For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You know, if I had a lump of clay and I wanted to make some ugly vase and give it, you know, glaze it and fire it and give it to you, that's my prerogative. And if you say it's ugly, I'll look at you. What's your point? I don't care what you think. I didn't make it for you. I made it for me. Can you imagine something being formed and then looking up at the thing that formed it and say, what'd you make me like that for? Right? You know, that's a good, every one of us ought to come to that position, that place in our lives, right? Because, you know, kids can be so cruel in school, and they look for weaknesses, and they want to tease and isolate and point fingers, and usually it has to do with how you talk or how you look, but you don't have any control over any of that. You know, I didn't ask to have a big nose. You know, I didn't ask to, when I was a kid, to be so skinny that when I stood sideways and stuck out my tongue, I looked like a zipper. I didn't ask for that. That's how God made me. And I formed a complex over it because other people didn't like. But you know, when God really got a hold of my life, I realized, you know what? He made me the way I am, and he likes me the way I am. Right? So I realized at that point, and from that point on, hey, I have nothing to do with how I was created. I have nothing to do that it's not my fault that I can't sing like Brother Brooks. I wasn't born with that gift, right? So why should I beat myself up for it, you know? Rather just enjoy what God did through somebody else, right? So once you accept that, and you know, then the next time somebody makes fun of your nose or whatever it is that seems to bother you, you just say, well, you know, go talk to my boss. Go talk to the Creator because he thinks it's just fine. He made me this way. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen. So we need to first recognize the power of the Word. We need to recognize that the Word of God, excuse me, is all powerful and cannot fail. It can never be defeated. God gave you a weapon that it's the most powerful weapon that there is. He gave you the very best that he could give you. Amen. But it takes the arm of faith to put it into action. So the part that we have to play, as we were speaking about this morning, is whether or not we will receive his word. Whether or not we will confess his word and stand upon it. So God made all of the materials in this room that we're looking at here tonight. Everything that's made here, he made the materials that these things were composed of or manufactured from or whatever. He is before all things. He is before, so that means he's before your sins. Before your sins, he was. He's before your trials. He was before your birth, and he's after your birth. He's before your trials. He's after your trials. Your circumstances change nothing. You know, if God has to intervene on your behalf to keep his own word, he'll do that. Because his word, he did it with Abraham, right? Abraham Think about this for a minute. I don't want to go off on too many tangents, but it'd be really easy to do it tonight. Think about this for a moment. Abraham left the promised land, doubting God's word, because times got hard. He left the promised land. Where God was going to bless him there in the land, but he left, and you know, he ends up with Abinadab and giving his wife away and what have you, and you know, and it looks like he's doubting. Of course, we know down in his soul he never did doubt, but in his head, in his mind, you know, he was being a human being a man, looked like he was doubting, and God intervened and brought Abraham back into the land. In fact, Abraham was giving away his wife Sarah, saying that it was his sister, and God intervened on behalf of that. Because God was what he'd already declared, this is what I'm going to do. He didn't say, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Now, son, if you do this, then I'll do that. No, he tried that with Adam, and I don't mean try it like God was trying to see what would happen, but he proved it with Adam that that man can't keep the covenant, right? He placed Adam on a conditional covenant. That didn't work out so well. Of course, it was his permissive will, and it was making a way for God to be able to express himself and to be our Savior, and on and on and on. So it wasn't a mistake, but then God comes along with Abraham, and he makes another covenant, and he says, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you the father of many nations, period. Not if you do this, I'll do that, right? This is what I'm going to do. So God's word is on the line. And we are the spiritual seed of Abraham, right? God made a covenant, an unconditional covenant. Oh, friends, this covenant, he said, you know what? You can't keep the other side of it, so I'll keep both sides. I'll keep the promise, and then I'll believe my word as well. Hallelujah. And so God had to go after Abraham, and God had to deal with Abinadab. And in fact, this took place twice in Abraham's walk. And God had to get a hold of that king and at night and say, what are you doing? He says, what do you mean, what am I doing? He says, you're taking another man's wife. He said, no, sir. Lord, no. You know I'm a righteous man. And the Lord said, of course I know you're a righteous man. You think I'd let my son get around an unrighteous king? Oh, friends. You think God is going to allow something to take you from him? Oh, he's watching over. Even when we didn't know he was watching over us, he's watching over us. Because he's going to perform his word. He's going to keep his promise. He's going to keep his covenant. So he gets a hold of this man, and he says, this woman is married. Well, who's she married to? Abraham. No, she's Abraham's sister. Well, that's a half truth, because she's his half sister. In fact, she's his wife. Sarah is Abraham's wife, and you're just about to take her as your queen. Oh, God. Forgive me. I'm sorry. You don't have to apologize to me, but you do have to apologize to my prophet. Well, he lied to me. It's not my fault. He lied. I don't care. I made a covenant with him. I made a promise with him, and I'm going to keep my word concerning him. Now, friends, I'm not encouraging you to lie, but I want to show you where a true son or daughter of God stands in God's sight. You go, what I want you to do is go find that liar and then tell that liar you're sorry that he lied to you. And then ask that liar to pray for you. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Right? One of the things that I'm trying to show you here is that you can do things that other people can't do if you're a son or daughter of God. Now, you'll pay a price for it, right? And I'm not encouraging you to do it. But God never told Abraham, I'm going to kill you. How could he do that? He'd already made a promise. He's gonna that's his heir, and he's going to bring forth, he's going to bring forth spiritual seed like the stars of the sky. He's going to bring forth natural seed like the sands of the desert, right? And God's going to make sure that it takes place. God's watching over his word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need to, as we said, we need to first recognize the power that's in God's Word, and that God's Word cannot fail. And the part that we have to play is whether or not we're going to agree with God's Word, whether or not we're going to receive it and stand upon it. And then God is going to bring that Word to pass in your life. Your circumstances change nothing. And that's what we look at so much of the time. Well, if this hadn't happened, if that hadn't happened, or this or that, what do circumstances have to do with the Word of God? They have no effect on the Word. Well, I'm struggling to overcome this, and I'm struggling to overcome that. Well, when you quit struggling, you'll overcome. Because you've already overcome, but you're struggling with the fact that you're an overcomer. Oh, let that sink in, friends. The Word of God, listen to this. The Word of God has declared you to be an overcomer. Amen. To the overcomer of the church of Laodicea, I will grant for you to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and seated in my Father's throne. Now, is that speaking about you? Are you a son or daughter of God? Amen. Then you're an overcomer. Amen. Right? You're one that's going to come over. Hallelujah. And it won't be by your might, and it won't be by your power. It won't be by your struggling. You know, you would brag. You'd feel pretty good. That's the problem. If you had the strength, the power to do this yourself, why would you need God? Why would you need that anointing? But you're gonna overcome by the word of your testimony. In other words, God gave you a word, and that word lived out is going to produce a testimony in your life. And by the Spirit of the blood of the Lamb. Right? And you're going to give all the glory to Him. It's going to be completely obvious to you that He is the overcomer that overcame all things. And He made you an overcomer. He's not making you an overcomer. You are an overcomer. And you'll start acting like one when you let that break on you. When you quit looking at the circumstances, when you quit looking at, well, I did this or I did that, or I've butted my head against this for so long, or I've tried to this or tried that. Forget about all of that. That has nothing to do with the Word. That's you presenting all the arguments of why that can't be true for you. But in spite of all of that, He's made a way. Sometimes we just need to go, you know, every rattlesnake that we come across, we don't have to, tangle with it. Sometimes just go around it. Well, praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales. Who's done that? Who's actually taken all the mountains on the face of the earth, weighed them on the scales? Who could measure what God has done? His marvels, His wonders. Oh, friends, He's so big. And the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? So in other words, who's telling God what to do? Oh, I know that we tend to do that. We want to kind of bring Him around as an errand boy sometimes. God, do this, do that, fix this jam, fix that, and patch this up. But we don't tell Him what to do. He leads us, right? Amen. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? Aren't you glad that God doesn't learn? Aren't you glad that He's not getting smarter? I remember, was it a Jehovah Witness? I believe it was Jehovah Witness that came to our door. You try to spend a little time and you try to just see if there's any possibility of putting something out there that they, you know, if there's a hunger or a thirst that you can present some light and their eyes can be opened up to something other than the cult that they're in. And so the Lord led me to that scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I talked about how in the garden that God knew everything that was going to take place. He knew there was going to be a fall, but He created things in such a way that there could be a fall because of a greater purpose that he had, that he wanted to express himself as Savior, as Lord, as healer, and all these other things, and which we would never know these attributes, these wonderful attributes of our Father, had there not been a fall. And they stood there just shocked, and their mouths were open. God, how could you dare believe that God would know that and let it happen? And I looked at him and I thought, well, you serve a pretty puny God. If your God got edumacated, if he didn't, oh my. Yeah. There was a brother that was preaching on the breach and preached it as God throwing himself into an emergency situation. You know, something's got to happen. Really? I ain't serving a God like that. A God that got surprised? Well, I didn't see that coming. My God knows all things. Nothing gets past him. Satan doesn't do a thing that God doesn't allow him to do. He ain't nothing but a tool. And when he's through, he'll be put into the melting pot and melted down. That'll be the end. But right now, he's actually helping to perfect you. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. I remember, here's the rest of what we were speaking about with the Jehovah Witnesses. So I took them to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And they said, oh no, that's not what it says. It says the Word was a God. You know, so they had to write their own Bible, right? Well, now we're done. You know, because we don't even have anything to discuss. Okay, you got your Bible, I got mine. All right, have a good time. You know, because I'll stay with the Word. I'll stay with the vindicated Word. So they made Jesus a lesser God, a prophet, a lesser God, and Satan a God. You know, well, good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you. He is God.
Yes.
And there is no other.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you can have that confidence tonight?
Amen.
We don't have to wait till we get to the other side to find out that we were right about what he told us, or he was right about what he told us. He's proven it to us now, over and over and over. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. That's your God.
Amen.
That's your great big Father. Oh my. He's so much greater than. Now, what was your problem again? What, you know, you got a sprained eyelash, or what is it again? Isaiah 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. Now, friends, if he formed you from the womb, even in the natural, right? Even in the natural. Brother Branham was supposed to be part Irish, part Cherokee, right? God did that. He mixed a little bit of this with a little bit of that. You're already a miracle, right? God watched over your pedigree. He watched over your lineage. You're exactly, even in the natural, you're exactly what. You have the temperament that God intended for you to have, for the work that he called you to do. He's watching over you. Every little detail. Nothing's getting past him, friends. Nothing. Let him be God tonight. Let him be your God tonight. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I did that. Yeah. Satan had nothing to do with it. I did it.
Amen.
God didn't have a consultant. He didn't hire an architectural firm. He didn't go to Brother Hawkins and say, how am I going to make this electricity work? No, Brother Hawkins goes to him and says, how does your electricity work? How can I harness what you've already done? Neither did he look at the circumstances. Remember, this earth was null and void, without form at one time. And if you were to look at it, it sure didn't look anything like what God said that it was when he spoke. When he said, let there be, let there be, let there be. It didn't look anything like that, right? The circumstances made the word of God look like a lie. If you're relying on what you see. But let the word go to work. Let the word go transforming. Amen. So God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, and he placed him on the earth to rule, to have dominion, to dress and to keep this garden, to be the dominant one on the earth, to be the caretaker on the earth. Everything was under the dominion of this son, Adam, and he ruled the earth not with his muscles as a beast, but with the words of his mouth, just like Papa does. And when he said, let there be, then that's what it was. The word of God spoken from Adam's lips had the very same effect as they had when they were spoken by the Logos in the beginning. And he said, let there be light. Because the word is what has the power. And the word spoken, the word of God spoken on human lips, it's the same thing as deity speaking. Not that you're deity, but it's the same thing as God speaking, because it has the same effect, because the power is in the word. So when man fell, he lost the title to this earth, but the kinsman redeemer has purchased back our title deed, and we have legal rights to take possession of all that Adam lost. It's all ours, and we have the rights to take possession of it. I want you to know tonight, I have the right to be born again. Now, Satan tried to keep me from that. In fact, Satan got me to the place where he almost convinced me that it would work for everybody but me. Because, you know, I'm just the exception. I'm just such a big mess. And then when I was born again, he came along and said, well, you're the only one that needed it. So don't expect him to play fair, right? But he couldn't keep me. I have a right. I have a right. It didn't matter how much I sinned. It didn't matter how much, you know, the disgrace of my character or whatever. I still had the right to be born again. Oh, don't look at me like you're an angel. You got a background too. You know, that's the trouble. We all, you know, we can be such experts on, well, you know, I heard about this and that and the other. Let's go through your life. I'm sure there's some things in your closet that should just remain in the closet. Actually, they're under the blood. And God has dealt with them. Why would you want to dig them up? That's the power of this blood tonight, friends. We have the right to be born again by the seed incorruptible, by the word of God, because he paid the debt. Not corruptible, but by the word of God that abideth forever. So that means that you possess all that Adam and Eve lost. You didn't earn it, but he purchased it, brought it back. So don't look at your circumstances now. And I know that it's difficult. I know that, you know, that we tend to deal with cause and effect, and we tend to, you know, look at circumstances, and that's how we, in the natural, that's how we solve things, you know, look at circumstances and try to change them around. But instead of doing that, look at the divine promise. Look at the word that God has said, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, right? What does the word say, right? That's what I must confess. Friends, there are many that are sitting here in this building tonight that had cancer in your body. Right? The doctor said you had cancer, right? And you either asked for prayer or the faith just dropped in. And in either case, the faith dropped in. But you took God at his word. His word says that you are healed. And so you didn't fear that thing. And what happened? The doctors couldn't find it. Right? Why? Because the word takes the preeminence over any circumstance. Hallelujah. So we shouldn't look at the circumstances or testify of the circumstances. Instead, we should say, what does the word say concerning my situation? And that is what I must confess, because he's the high priest of my confession, not of my complaining. So if the word says, sons of God, listen to this now. If the word says, sons of God will be revealed at the end of the ages, then I'm going to say, sons of God will be manifested. And I'm one of them. And I'm going to look for this manifestation. I'm not going to look for blood moons or, I'm not going to look for any other kind of a sign. All nature's groaning and travailing together to see the manifestation of the sons of God, to see man standing back in his rightful position, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, restored back into his position where he's speaking the word once again and believing it, and it's coming to pass. We'll get into that here in just a moment if I can hurry up. So I want to confess what the word has already declared, no matter what I think, no matter how I feel, no matter what kind of a past, what my pedigree is, what my genealogy is. I want to confess what the word has to say. Amen? And I'm going to expect it to take place. So as we've seen, it is the life of the blood when it comes back on the believer that restores the believer back to their original position. And it puts them once again on speaking terms, just like Adam, and that life anoints them to speak. The anointing isn't anointing you to become a tape collector or a Bible owner, but it anoints you actually to become a Bible. To become written epistles read of all men. For you to become, friends, all throughout history, God's been playing out portions of this drama of redemption throughout the ages. And there's a portion that he's playing out in our day. And we are the actors that are on the stage. And he wrote the play before we got here. And when we get here, we find ourselves on the stage and the light of the hour shining upon us. And then we find ourselves, we are actually manifesting the word of God for our day. And he chose you before the foundation of the world to be that manifestation. When people see you, they see God's idea on a family. When they see you, they see God's idea on temperance or patience or what have you. God is expressing himself through a body. So you become the message as your lives become a voice. And the blood of Jesus sets man back across this gap that appeared when man fell. There was a separation between God and man, but this blood of Jesus Christ sets us back across that gap. It eliminates the gap. And this blood bleaches our sin, annihilates it, places it on the head of Satan. And when God anoints his word spoken by man, then that word has to come to pass. Amen. It's God's word. It's God's spirit anointing that word. And he'll bring it to pass. So that requires that we walk in the spirit with the mind of Christ. And we must be walking in the will of God. And if you want to know what his will is, look at his word. His word is his will. From the fourth seal, he says, now, if it'll do that under the blood of bulls and goats, what about the blood of Jesus? Not covered, but remitted altogether. Recall that the blood of the bulls and goats in the Old Testament did not take away your sin. It covered it, right? It was animal blood, and it didn't have the power to take away your sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ annihilates your sin. It doesn't wipe it out. It annihilates it. It's remitted altogether. You stand in the presence of God as a redeemed son. Now, see, the church is far beyond its standard of living. And I think too many times we're probing instead of really coming out and facing the issue. You know, that is one of the hardest things for man to believe, is that they're redeemed. That price has actually been paid to set you free. And that he took your sin upon him, so you're no longer to blame. But that's so hard for us to get a hold of. Oh, I'm just this and that. We want to just beat on ourselves like a Catholic and get a cat of nine tails and rip our backs as if that's going to do anything. He paid the price. Amen. The price is paid. Amen. The debt is settled. Amen. He said not guilty. And you want to argue with him. Amen. He opened the prison house. Said you're free. Amen. He took your place. Amen. So you and I are living in the last age, and we're the last group, and a rapture is going to take place in our day. And I think it's time that we face the issue of this. The word will be spoken by mouthpieces that God has placed on the earth for that purpose, to manifest his word, to speak his word. The blood has done its work. He's not going to shed one more drop. That work's finished. That work was done. That blood can take even the vilest sinners and wash and cleanse them and rebirth him and place him back on speaking terms again. Friends, you know, if I had a little dirt on my face, I could find a mirror or you, he'd be quick to tell me that I got a little dirt on my face or whatever. My wife loves me enough that she won't let me get out with a little spaghetti or a little egg or something on my cheek. And so she'll point that out. And so I can scrub or I can look in a mirror and I can see that myself. But what about the inside? No man knows his own heart, right? How do I clean the inside? I don't even know what's wrong. Right? But he does. And so he could take that blood could take that scrub brush and scrub me on the inside. Hallelujah. And change my heart. I don't even know how to change my heart. I don't even know what my heart's supposed to be. So I say, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever new. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. And that's exactly what he does. He gives you that nature that's like his nature. So the blood's done its work. It can take the worst sinner, wash him, cleanse him, rebirth him, and then place him back on speaking terms once again. The blood has so sanctified and so cleansed us that it makes us now worthy to take this book that we couldn't even look at. But now, not only can we look at it, but we're commanded, not suggested, but commanded, take this little book and eat it. Right? Take that abstract title deed and possess all that's in the word concerning you. And let it be your testimony. That word must be spoken on your lips. You know, Jesus is your Savior. Okay, you got to say, that's right, Jesus is my Savior. If you don't say that, he's not your Savior. You must accept your pardon for your pardon to be a pardon. That word must be spoken on your lips as we prophesy again. Pergamene church age. He says, now then, this word he has left behind on the printed page is a part of him when you accept it by faith into a spirit-filled life. He said that his word was life, John 6:63. But that isn't exactly what he said, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. Romans 8:9. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There it is. He is spirit and he is life. That is exactly what the word is. That is exactly what Jesus is. He is the word. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes the word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that's the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. Let's see what Jesus himself said about this. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That word verily, it means surely, truly, of a truth, or amen. So be it. So, the second Adam came along to show us what the first Adam did. The first Adam would speak. You know, Eve would say, you know, I don't like that stream running through our living room. He'd speak to the stream and it'd go somewhere else. He could speak to a mountain, be cast in the sea. He ruled by the spoken word. Right? When man fell, he's still the preeminent creature here on the earth. But when he fell to the level of the animal kingdom. He rules by brute force now. But he's designed and equipped to rule by the spoken word. So Jesus showed us what a restored Son of God could do. He spoke to the wind, to the waves, and he told you that the same would be true for you. So what is your desire? He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So what do you desire? What is your desire? When you pray, believe that it has already happened. Well, how about a loved one? How about a wayward loved one? Lord, I want to see that one serving you. Right? And I don't care what it takes. I don't care what you got. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. But first and foremost, that's my desire. Where do you think that desire came from? You know, we feel so sorry for ourselves because we're anguishing over something. Thank God you're anguishing over something. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't cry out and it wouldn't happen. God put that desire in your heart. And then you stood in the gap. Like a priest. He's made us priests and kings. You stood in the gap and said, Lord, have mercy. I don't want my child to... I want you to save my child. Whatever it might be. So when you pray, believe that it's already happened. You don't need to beg or pester God, but believe that you received it. Whatever you've asked for. Now, if you don't believe that it will, then you don't have the promise. You have to know who you are, and you have to know your relationship to Him in order to believe this. Time has nothing to do with it. I don't care how long it takes before you see the manifestation. There may be no evidence initially, but His word is creative. So what God wants to do is to anoint your lips to speak it to where His words become your words. Where's Alvaro at? Right over there. Where's Mrs. Alvaro? Is she around? Oh, there you are. I heard both of these speak things concerning their family. And I'm seeing the manifestation of it. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over years. But it happened. And it is happening. Quickly now. He says, same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, how he's proved it in his meetings. If he was standing here, wearing my suit, or the suit that he gave me, rather, and was standing before you. Listen to this. He couldn't heal you because he did that when he died at Calvary. Amen. He's already paid the price for your healing. It's just a matter of you walking in it, right? He couldn't do no more for you than what he can working through his church right now. Oh, let that break on you, friends. Again, Jesus Christ is in the building tonight to perform miracles, but he does it through his church, his people. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, they shall cast out evil spirits. Is that right? The commission's given to the church. That's what's the matter with the church today. It doesn't know its position. If you know positionally who you was and what you are tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person in here in the next 5 minutes. That's right. The thing of it is, you're looking off to the millennium, and I know lots of people that do that, for something to happen. Well, I won't need healing in the millennium. When it's already here, he says. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are right now. When? This night, right now, this minute. We are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, spiritually speaking. Oh, if you'd only recognize that and the supreme authority that Jesus Christ has given to every believer. Anything that you have desire of, you say, but what if I want to drink? Well, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you don't want to. Amen. Your desires are changed. Amen. anything that you have desire of or need of, the only thing you have to do is ask and receive it. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe and you receive it. That's either the truth or it's not, friends. And it'll be given unto you, St. Mark 11:24. And that's true. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it.
Amen.
But you got to believe it.
Yes.
So this is what Adam lost. But Jesus Christ has paid the price to return back to us. Jesus has given unto us the keys. Ask and believe, and it shall be given to you. Again, he says, and he's speaking through his church today, through the anointed church of the living God, through vessels of clay. You are the branches, I am the vine. God is still speaking. And the world sees Jesus as you present him. That's how the world, you are written epistles, as Paul said, read of all men. Your life tells what you are.
Yes.
So God's still speaking, friends. He's using your body to speak.
Amen.
And he'll use words if he has to. But your life is speaking.
Amen.
You've been bought with a price. You've been redeemed. And now you are given over to his service as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the church is God's agency. It's God's means of accomplishing his work. Again, in we would see Jesus. He said, I do nothing of myself but what I see the Father doing. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God had confined himself to one body, that was his Son. Through the death of his Son, brought God to the entire church, universal, through the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Christ, cleanses mortal man and makes them, not in themselves, but by the grace of God, through his grace, makes them subjects of the Holy Spirit. And he talks and walks and preaches and acts through his church, his vine, or his branches that's connected in him. Again, in Christ is a mystery, he says, and once, just a while ago, when you showed the vision, the little tabernacle here about to store up the food, that there would come a time when this would all be needed. When we see Brother Sothman and Brother Woods ready to cross over into the other country, but you said, store up this food here for this time, Lord. Reverently, I've tried to do that. So we know that we've been given manna. We know that we've been given the revealed word, that it's been stored up for it to be revealed to you in due season. It's available. Again, he says, here he is manifested in the fullness, deity himself standing on the earth, God in his fullness, to die for the sin of the people, that he might bring to his church a sanctified life, and that he might have the preeminence in fullness in his church, as Paul said, to manifest every promise in these last days, to manifest every promise, to manifest every promise in these last days that he promised for the last. Remember, he can't lie. He's already said it. It must come to pass. So that's why we must have the vision before us. The people without a vision will perish. You got to know what it is that God spoke for this day. And then when you see that, you realize you're walking towards that. And eventually, you and the vision become one. You become the manifestation of what he said would happen. And you can say, this is that. That was spoken by the prophets. You want to know what it is? This is that. Hallelujah. Again, he says, and in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead deity through his church, have the preeminence in his church. Oh my, what? The anointed man, now the anointed people. What do people do with this quote that want to keep it in the anointed man? The anointed man, now the anointed people, oh my, what for? To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom, anointed by accepting what Eve turned down by Adam and Adam, coming back with the anointing of the word, because he said, my word is spirit. See, anointed with the word, what Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept.
Amen.
And the church says?
Amen.
So God is connecting you to himself together so that nothing done on the earth is apart from you. He needs you. He planned for you to be here. And he is here in his body, in his church, to speak through a people in order to manifest himself to the world, to fulfill his word. Brother Branham was in his study one time. We'll pull over here in just a moment. Leave a whole bunch out. Brother Branham was in his study one time, and the Lord began to talk to him, saying, pick up your pen and write. And we're familiar with that. It was in, it was spoken about in a message, the spoken words, the original seed. He says here, in paragraph 420, he says, here's the secret. The word is in the bride. And of course, we know the bride is his church. The word is in his bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. Well, how would you know what he wants done with the word? Because he's telling you.
Amen.
In his word, and he's revealing it to you. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, which is his word, then it is germatized so that the Holy Spirit waters it until it grows and serves its purpose. Listen to this. They do only his will. This is his church. He says, amen, I believe that. No one can persuade them different. This is a vision. This is coming to pass. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. It's not that we're prophets and we're going around prophesying, but we have God's word. And we say what he says, or we don't say anything at all. Then they do the works of God, for it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill, as he did complete in his day. All things, when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for that was not yet the time. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these things, because I go to my Father. Greater meaning more, meaning there was more of his work to complete. So the cleansing word, the saving word, the rapturing word is already in you. Let me say that again. Because the devil's dangling carrots and bananas and apples and shiny objects before us. And, oh, you got to go over to so-and-so and hear about a blood moon. Or why do I keep going on that? I don't know. You got to go hear some fantastical something. Friends, the thing about the word is that when God reveals his word to you, it's so simple. Some of these things that people come up with, it's more complicated. It's more mysterious afterwards than it was before. In fact, they make mysteries out of things that weren't mysterious. Right? But what is so amazing is that when God reveals his word to you, you realize, you know what? It was right in front of me all this time, hidden in plain view. I just couldn't see it until God chose to open my eyes to it. And now you can't not see it. So what does he want done with his word? Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Say the same thing. Your confession is the same as your high priest. Again, Laodicean church age, he says, now we find at first, he showed his deity right here. I am the Almighty. I am he that was, which is, and shall come. From Revelation chapter 3. The Almighty to the church of Ephesus. He said it three times. Is that right? He comes right over to Laodicean, and he says, I'm the Amen. I was the first back here. I'm the last over here. Amen. And I am the beginning of the creation of God. I'm God being created into my own creation. I am the beginning of the creation of God. Through the church ages that we're to have, you'll learn that I am God. God created in man form. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. He says that would make a Presbyterian shout. Just think about it. So God speaks, and an amen says, let it be so. Isn't that something, Brother Andy? He's speaking, and then Brother Brooks, he's got to go, amen. Preach it. What I said is true. Amen. I am the amen of God. I am the true and faithful witness, he says. So the amener is now inside of you. The Holy Spirit, right? if you have the Holy Ghost. Why do you think it is that when the word breaks on you, when God reveals it to you, you go, amen? Well, you never thought about that before, but all of a sudden you know it's true. Amen. Just like that, amen. You don't even hesitate. Why? Because the amen is in you. Yeah. People have gotten so upset with me over the years and so frustrated because in church I'll go and sit and pulling a ministering gift, and I know how to do that. I know how to get in right in the same channel, and they're anointed. I know how to see that, and you've learned to do that too. We've had ministers come that didn't even know what was in them, and they found out because you pulled on the gift, and they couldn't sleep that night. So I pull on the gift, and sometimes I'm saying amen before it's even coming out, because and that's because I know what's coming. Yeah. I the thought is there, and you know what's going to come forth. Right. Because it's the Spirit in you. You're in the same channel. Yes. He must be in you, because He's going to teach you what you hear.
Yes. Right.
So God speaks, and an amen says, yeah, let it be so. Yeah. And that amener is down on the inside of you. And as you confess that it's right, God is working on your behalf. You are His mouth here on the earth. And His word cannot return it to Him empty. So you're saying, Lord, let Your word, let what is in heaven be manifested here on the earth. And the word is all powerful. You don't have to help it along. You don't have to fret over it. It'll produce what it was sent to do. You say, well, I don't see anything. I don't have any evidence. I don't feel anything, Brother Doug. Well, He doesn't need you to. Did you notice how I just said that? I didn't say you don't need to. I said He doesn't need you to. He's doing it. He doesn't need any evidence. He believes His word. You accept it, you confess it, and then He sends His anointing to follow that word and to bring it to pass. We have received, thus saith the Lord, we have received God's word, and nobody can persuade us different. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken concerning you and showing you who you are. You've made your calling and election sure. You found yourself in the volume of the book. The question is tonight, can you believe it? Now, some of you probably wonder why I'm going different directions. I can feel the pull. And I'm just, I've been doing this long enough that I just got to surrender to it. You might sit there and think, you know, this is a review or this or that or the other. But somebody's pulling tonight. So the heavenly bridegroom who's here right now in spirit form is connected to His earthly bride. And she is His mouthpiece that His voice is sounding forth through. You know, there was a time when I would go off to work and my wife was at home taking care of the home, taking care of the kids. And we had set up certain standards and certain things that we were believed to be right, that we wanted to be established in our home. And my wife was in agreement, of course. And so when I would leave the home, and if somebody came to the door trying to sell something, my wife didn't have to fuss with them or argue. What she did instead was she quoted to them my word. No, my husband said. Now, it used to kill her because she always wanted to be nice and whatever, and didn't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. But I said, honey, don't worry about it. Just tell them I said no. I don't want to find them on my couch when I get home from work, like I did one time. A Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman wearing lizard skin boots and snake skin belt that was hanging down. He had serpent written all over him. And he was trying to, we were driving cars that were older than we were. Weren't made in the same decade, you know. I had to watch the taillights of three cars ahead of me. I couldn't watch the car ahead of me because it's too late. I had to look three cars ahead so that I had time to react, to slow down. And this clown is, you know, we're renting a 800 square foot home, three bedroom, 800 square foot home built in the 40s and for about $2,000 a month, and that's back in 1990. And so we're just squeaking by, and this clown's trying to sell us a $2,000 vacuum cleaner, trying to convince us that we need it. You know, it's got a leaf blower, and it's got a lawn attachment and a buffer. And I thought you said it was a vacuum. Now it's a microwave and a paint gun and who knows what else, right? And my wife keeps saying, well, I don't think my husband's going to go for it. And I don't think so. We'll just sit here and wait. And so when I came in the door, they started trying to turn on the screws like they did with her. But they found out that I was made of a little different stuff. I was the guy that said no, that she was repeating. And she's looking up, I told you. I told you. This guy, he tries everything. Well, you know, he came down from $2,000 to $800. And it's like, you think I'm going to trust you now? Because now it's $800 and it was $2,000? And I'm supposed to feel better about the fact that you were trying to rob us? And you're still trying to rob us? That car that's out in the driveway, I didn't pay $800 for that car. If I had $2,000, I'd buy another car. I can't ride that vacuum cleaner to work. I don't need that stinking thing. Well, he was turning on the screws. He says, you know, I'll tell you what, let me call my boss. You know, so he gets on the phone. He says, you mind if I make a call? It's long distance, but, you know, we'll cover it. We'll pay for it. And I looked over at my wife and grinned, and I said, sure, go ahead. So he gets on the phone, and he's just lying through his teeth because we had gotten rid of long distance on our phone because somebody was having a little problem with it. So we didn't have long distance. And this guy's, And I'm thinking, you lying dog. He gets off the phone and he's got some great deal for us, you know. Okay, you won't get the buffer or the waxer, but, you know, just for the whatever. And I'm thinking, what a liar. So finally I said, no. What part of no don't you understand? No, right? And then I think his boss shows up. He was the one with the lizard skin boots or whatever. It was. He shows up, and he says, and I look at him, and I said, you know what? I said, look, I'm sorry. I know this is what you guys do for a living. I'm sorry, but we don't want the vacuum cleaner. Sorry? I'm the one that's sorry. You're going to let your kids get eaten up by these carpet mites? Get out. Oh, I was done by then. I was ready to carry this guy out. Now he's trying to shame me in my own home because I'm infecting my children with carpet mites. They're not just in the carpet. They're in the pillows now. And he's going to show us how to get rid of them. No, what we need to get rid of, you're the carpet mite. Get out. All that to tell you. So Sister Baker caught the drift. I didn't find anybody on my couch when I got home after that. You know, she'd just say, look, sorry, but my husband said, this is what it is, right? So this isn't your word, it's his word. But he needs somebody to enforce it. And you're the enforcer, right? And he's given you the authority to do it. And he has the power to bring it to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Hallelujah. So don't listen to all the scarecrows that have been put up around the acts of the Holy Ghost in the church. Well, he doesn't do this anymore. He doesn't do that. Be careful of this. Be careful of that. The head of the body, Christ, is in complete control of the body. He's given the orders. We're carrying them out. His word is being performed. And his bride is believing his full word. Amen. So don't even have these conversations. Well, I look around and I'm disappointed and I hope this, hope that. Friends, there's nothing going awry. There's nothing wrong. Everything's marching. God's timepiece is marching. His word is marching. Things are falling into place. His word is being fulfilled just exactly like he said it would. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I read one more statement to you? Thank you. This is from the Smyrnian Church Age. He says, another thing I'd like to read to you. It's found in the book, How Did It Happen? And this is by the historians. How Did It Happen? By R.C. Hazeltine, the history of the early churches. And here on page 180, the spiritual gifts in Irenaeus' time. So remember, the Smyrnian Church Age is bitterness, and it's a dying church. The Spirit of God is still in the church, but it's a dying church, and bitterness has come in. It says here on page 180, the spiritual gifts in Irenaeus' time in AD 177 to 202, he says, now the reason I'm quoting this, it's going on tape, and it'll be taken off on books. It was in Irenaeus' time that the most of the apostolic church of France had all the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not Ephesians. This is not the first church age. This is a dying church age. Right? The Smyrnian, the third church age. It's dying. Right? And yet all the spiritual gifts were in the church, even in this dying church age. Right? They had all the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He says that was from him teaching. See? Irenaeus' church members at Lyon, that's Lyon, France, spoke with tongues. It was not uncommon to see someone dead brought back to life. Now, they taught us in English class that that's called a double negative. Anybody ever heard that term before? A double negative? It's when you have two negatives together, they counteract one another, right? So what does not uncommon mean? Common. If it's not uncommon, it's common. So let's read it like that. It was common to see someone dead brought back to life. In a dying church age. It was common. To see someone dead brought back to life. Healing was an everyday occurrence in all the evangelical churches everywhere that Irenaeus knowed how to teach, the church age messenger. Miracles were frequent. In fact, those churches were never without a miraculous manifestation of God's presence, either by vision, suspension of the elements of nature, in a miracle. Why? To remind the evangelical Christians of that day that they were his beloved disciples. So, you're not? I mean, if he did that for a dying age, and now we're living in a time of restoration, he's not going to let you know that he loves you? What does restoration mean? It doesn't mean take away. Means to restore. It's amazing. Yeah. Things were restored, and right away there's people wanting to get rid of them. Yeah. If you don't want them, give them to me. Wish I could take Brother Brooks's gift, just for a night, just. Hallelujah. Well, I couldn't do with it what he does. God knows what to give us, right? But from the histories of the past, we cannot glean a single instance of the raising of the dead in the first Roman church. Why? Because it was a dead church. People not interested in either side, they're just telling the truth. It's historians. That's why I think Irenaeus, because you see, he had the same faith that Paul and the disciples had handed down. And that's why I believe that he was the angel of the church of Smyrna Because he had the same scriptural teachings, and the same scriptural teachings upon the basis of God's word, listen to this, will produce the same thing every time. Amen. If you will just simply take God's formula and carry it out to the letter, no matter what the churches say, just follow it. Just the way it said it, and it'll produce the same thing. Amen. And that's what Irenaeus did. Now, I think Polycarp was a fine man. Remember, Polycarp was a disciple of John, who wrote the book of Revelations and wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He was a disciple of John. I mean, how would you like to have John as your pastor? I mean, wouldn't that be a pretty good a nod? Wouldn't that be a pretty good... Who's your pastor, John? John the guy that laid his head on Jesus' heart. The disciple whom the Lord loved. That's my pastor. Polycarp was a good man. Now, I think Polycarp was a fine man. How would you like the church age messenger to say that about you? Polycarp was a fine man. Understand, but I say that he leaned too much to organize the church. And we were touching on that this morning. And like the Nicolaitans was doing. They were organizing the church and bringing a brotherhood together, which seems all right intellectually. But you see, the spirit's so far ahead of the intellectual till you can't even think right to the spirit. My high thoughts are higher than your thoughts, God said. My ways are higher than your ways. So there's only one way to do that. Just follow him by the blueprint. That's right. He says, now we might think. If I was going to Chicago tonight, I might get out here and get me a compass and say, now, let's see, Chicago's right this way. All right, I'll take right off. I wouldn't get out of Jeffersonville. See, I got to get me a road map. And there's a way that's lined out that I can go to Chicago in 6 or 7 hours of travel by automobile. But I can't just cut any way. The airplane can't just cut any way. The line or a certain height and things that he has to fly of certain degrees that he has to stay in. And there's a way made, and God has a way. God has a way for his church, for his people. And he never did intend it to be controlled by popes, cardinals, archbishops, or general overseers, or husbands of the church. Your pastor that says he's your husband. You filthy man, get away from me. Amen. Christ is my husband. Amen. That's blasphemy. Amen. Paul said, I've espoused you to one. Amen. And I'm jealous over you. Amen. Lest the serpent beguile you as he beguiled Eve. I don't apologize for that at all. We're espoused to him. Amen. Controlled by popes, cardinals, archbishops, or general overseers. The Holy Spirit is the tutor of the Church of the Living God to raise it. And all holiness don't go to the cardinal or the priest to make him a holy man in the church or anything. The lady has just as much right to the Holy Spirit as any preacher, pastor, deacon, trustee, whatever more. Laity. That's you. Nicolaity, that's from the Greek. It means to conquer the lady, conquer the people. God hates that. Right. And we do too. Amen. And the reason they call it Nicolaitans, as we had last night, Nicolaitan, we broke the word down. It comes from the Greek. Nico, which means to conquer or overthrow. Nicolaitan or laity, to conquer the lady, to overthrow it by giving them an order of men, clergymen that would teach them, and they would get their own conclusions together. And that's how the Nicene Council was held, because many of them got together and fixed up an order in the Nicene Council. I don't want to talk too much on it, he says, because that's Thursday nights in the Nicene Council. But there's where the Roman Catholic Church was formed, out of a group of some people that were converts of St. Paul. This came from within. And Irenaeus and St. Martin and on down. They were converted Christians from paganism over to Christianity, but wanted to pull the church back into the Old Testament form of a ministry. And we see that still happening. like having high priests and an apostolic succession, like one pope to another pope, or a father handing it off to a son without a vote in the church. If we could go on down through the Bible, you'd find out that that's exactly the truth, how God condemned the thing from the very beginning. And last night's church age, he says, I hate it.
Amen.
And so does the church.
Amen.
Friends, if God hates something, I want to be a million miles away from it.
Amen.
God never intended the church to be run by men. God runs his church, and he runs it through the gifts of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So now where are we at? You get rid of the gifts of the Spirit, how's God going to run his church?
Right.
It's his ministering gifts.
Right.
The gifts of the Spirit is in the church to correct the Spirit. He's got five ministerial offices in his church. First is apostles or missionaries. Missionaries, the highest calling there is, apostle. The word missionary means one sent. Apostle means one sent. Why they ever chose to be called a missionary, I don't know. But they are apostles, all right. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Now that's the elected offices of God to his church. Then in each local church, there's nine spiritual gifts that come among the people. That's knowledge and wisdom and gifts of healing, working of miracles, speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, all these things going into each local body.
Amen.
Until somebody comes along and says, we don't have it anymore.
Wow.
And every person in the church has an individual ministry. And that individual ministry goes together with the rest of the ministry to edify the body of Jesus Christ. We all have a part. We all have a position. And whatever God's placed in your life is not for you. You know, I believe God's given me a gift of faith that produces, that helps people to walk into healing. We've seen it vindicated over and over. But that's not for me, right? It's for others, right? So whatever God places in the body, in you, it's to minister to the rest of the body, right? There's no big I's, no little U's. It's Christ working through the body.
Amen.
I wore you out. I can see you kind of. Is he going to close? Yeah, I am going to close. No more Kirby vacuum cleaner stories. I still can't believe that happened. When I look back on it, you know, Mr. Lizard skin on my couch. What a serpent, you know. Get out of here. I mean, they've been sitting in my house a few hours, right? They come sometime in the afternoon. I come home in the evening, sitting on my couch. My poor little wife, you know, $2,000 vacuum. Really? That was 30 years ago. I never saw the gold on it. Must have been there somewhere. Aren't you glad we don't have to put up with that? Friends, it's a good type for us. We don't have to put up with the devil and his intimidation, his pressures. We just stand upon the word of God.
Amen.
And lizard skin boots will flee. Don't make me throw that vacuum at you. Oh my. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you love him?
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. We believe. And therefore we speak.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm honored to be amongst you. I'm honored to be counted amongst you. I'm honored to have you as family, friends, fellow workers, brothers and sisters, joint heirs. And just think, I get to spend eternity with you. Don't worry. We won't wear you out. I don't think I'll be preaching on the other side. I don't know what I'll be doing, but I'll be praising him. I know that.
Amen.
I'll be thanking him, loving him, expressing my gratitude. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you tonight that we've got a sure word of prophecy, Lord, that we've got your word, and not something outside of your word, but it's in your word. Your word is complete, and we can have full confidence in it, Lord. We know that at the end of the book, there are statements that are made about if someone adds to the word, that the plagues that are written in that book would be added to them. And if somebody takes away from your word, that their name would be taken off the book of life. Lord, we want all of your word. We know that in the time of the Exodus, that they were told to take a lamb that was without spot or wrinkle, to examine it for a period of days and to lift it up. And when they proved that it was without spot or wrinkle, that it met the requirements, that they were to take it, not boil it in water and not serve it cold, but they were told to roast it with fire, with the Holy Ghost in fire. And then they were told to eat it in haste, meaning don't just pick at it, but eat it in haste with your shoes on your feet and clothed and girded, ready to go. For it was the time of the Exodus had drawn nigh. And so, Lord, in the natural, they were told to eat the pertinence thereof. They were told to eat every part of it, to not leave any of it behind, to eat every part of it. And Lord, we know that there are parts of your word that there are favorites. We call them lamb chop quotes, maybe, or lamb chop scriptures. And then there's other parts that maybe is not so pleasant, but yet necessary and needful, essential. And so, Lord, we've got to eat the whole thing. We can't be picky. But we've got to believe the whole word and eat the whole word and become the word. The word lived out, manifested by taking your word in and allowing it to be planted in the prepared ground of our hearts. Then your spirit comes and quickens that word and makes it live in us. And then, Lord, all honor and glory goes to you. None of us can say, I did this or I did that. We didn't do anything. What we did was we got out of the way. We surrendered and let you have your way. We said, we agreed with your word and said, let your word be done. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let thy will, which is in heaven, let what is in heaven be manifested here on the earth in my life. Lord, that's our desire here tonight. I pray, Lord, with every head bowed, every eye closed, that there might have been a lot that was said tonight that might have went over some of our heads, and that's okay. We all start out at different times, but I trust, Lord, that you've spoken to each and every heart at some level, and that they've received of your word at whatever level that they might be at. And Lord, may they just take a hold of it and grab it and say, Lord, I want to see this in my life in a greater measure. I believe your word. I trust you. I take you at your word. I may not understand everything, Lord, but I want to go all the way. I want to surrender, and I want to be what you called me to be. Lord, you created me. I didn't make myself, and you created me for good work. You created me as a vessel of honor to manifest your glory once again through, not to draw attention to myself, but to draw attention to you. To be a light shining upon a hill in this hour, to be part of the solution, to be, Lord, the part of your body that you're working through, to seek and to save the lost, and to, Lord, to make a difference, to be signposts where others can, that are thirsty or that are hungry, they can see that signpost and be drawn to it. And Lord, we can be ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. We can tell them what makes us so happy. We can tell them why there's peace that passes all understanding. Why we're not tossed to and fro like so many others. But why we're grounded and founded and standing on the unfailing words of promise. Lord, I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, that each one would be encouraged. And Lord, I pray that each one would reach forth with the arm of faith tonight and just grab a hold of whatever they have need of. And Lord, say, be it unto me. I'm going to walk in it, Lord. And I thank you for it now. I thank you for it tonight. I may not see the manifestation. I may see it right away. I may not see it right away. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to take you at your word because I have this need and you have provided, Lord. And I'm going to walk in it, whether it's healing tonight, whether it's encouragement, whether it's salvation, whether it's deliverance, whatever it might be, whether it's a word about a faith about a loved one, a condition, a circumstance, I'm going to take you at your word, because you've given me your word and you cannot lie, Lord. You said whatsoever things I desire to ask, believing in faith, and it would be given to me. So, Lord, may each and every one reach forth with the arm of faith. Lord, you said that we have not sometimes just because we ask not. Or when we do ask, we don't ask in faith. Well, we want to ask tonight. We want to be obedient. And we want to give you an opportunity to prove once again that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, that you provide all of our needs, not just some or part, but Lord, everything. We can trust you for everything. I know that there's some people in the building tonight that are anxious. Lord, this world has caused some anxiety, and Satan is certainly, he's very good at it, and he's a tormentor, and he's raised circumstances and different things, and it's caused anxiety. But Lord, I say peace tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may that peace that passes all understanding be received in their hearts, and may they hold on to it, because you are our peace, who has broken down every wall. You have purchased that, Lord, and we're going to walk in it tonight, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the condition. Lord, we might be in some tight spots or tight corners, but Lord, you know the way. You know the way before we ever came into that situation, and you will see us through. So Lord, I pray that a peace that passes all understanding would find its resting place where there's anxiety, where there's nervousness, where there's worry. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that thinks that it's their job to worry about things, and if they don't worry, then how's it going to get done? But Lord, you're not worrying. You're not wringing your hands. You're not fretting. Lord, so if there's anyone that should be worried, it's you, but you're not worried. So Lord, we look at you, Lord, just like the time I was in a boat one time, and a 20-foot boat in a small fishing boat trying to go from one island in the Eastern Caribbean to another island, and the waves were tall, and the winds were blowing, and we were out in the open, and we couldn't even see the island we left or the island that we were going to, and my wife was wondering if we should be worried, and I was wondering. But then I looked at the captain that was piloting the boat, that was standing, and there was not a worried look on his face. He looked like he knew where he was going. He looked like he had it under control. He looked like he knew what he was doing. And so, Lord, I just sat back at that point. The waves were still rising. The water was still splashing. But I had confidence, because this man had confidence. He knew what it was that he was doing, and he wasn't worried. And, Lord, if that's in the natural, how much more so in the spiritual realm? I look into the eyes of my Heavenly Father. You're not nervous. You're not worried. You're not fretting. You're not wringing your hands. You're not wondering if my child is going to come back to you. You're not wondering if the devil's going to let go. He has to let go. He has to give way. And Lord, you're just waiting for us to confess in this dimension and to say, give way to the gates of hell. Give way to the name above all names, to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let my child go. Lord, you will bring that to pass. You've given us that promise. It's your word, Lord. And you cannot lie. It's unconditional. You've given it to us. But we've got to look you in the face and say, I believe you. I trust you. I take you at your word. Now I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to possess in it. Lord, may each and everyone reach forth with the arm of faith tonight. Reach out just a little further, Lord, than maybe we've done before. May we dare to reach forth and to just take you at your word, Lord. And to confess in this hour, in this dimension, in this time, that it is finished. Whatever it is that you promised us, may we confess it, Lord. And then, Lord, we will see it manifested in our lives. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Take away any nervousness here tonight. Take away any worry, any fear. Lord, I bind every spirit of unbelief in this building tonight that torments us, that comes against us, that challenges us, that tries to make us doubt. I doubt all doubts. And I bind every spirit in your precious name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, may your spirit have the preeminence. May your spirit have complete control. May each and everyone reach, Lord. reach out with that arm of faith and grab a hold of your divine promises, whatever it might be. I don't care if it's something they've been facing for years or just moments, but Lord, tonight, may they reach forth and say, God, I'm just going to take you at your word. I'm just going to line my confession up with your word. I'm going to confess what you've already confessed. I'm going to line my confession up with my high priest, who's the high priest of my confession, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to declare that it is finished. I'm going to declare that this thing that I am speaking out by your word is done. It's finished. And Lord, you're going to make it come to pass. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. All I have to do is take you at your word. Hold on to stand. And when I've done all to stand, you will bring it to pass. I thank you for that tonight, Lord. I love you and I thank you. I give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' lovely name, in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory.
What are you playing?
Everyone. Is he your peace tonight? He can be. He wants to be. He is our peace. He is our peace. Hallelujah. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? Tonight, he is our peace. So cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He is our peace. Thank you, Lord. You're my peace, Lord. Our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. One more time. He is our peace. Broken down every wall. He is our peace. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? Dear Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. He is our peace. So I cast all my cares on him, for he careth for me. Hallelujah. He's my peace. He is my peace. He is my peace. So I cast all my cares on him, for he careth for me. He's my peace. He